This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our dear brothers and sisters in al-Islam, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, every Wednesday evening bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Topic of discussion, insha'Allah, the 40 beautiful ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. Which hadith did we stop at? Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, we are still on hadith number one bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Quick bit of lightning revision, insha'Allah. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, in our majalis, we discuss the biography of this great scholar, Muhyiddin Abu Zakariya Yahya ibn Sharaf, ibn Murri, ibn Hassan, ibn Hussein, ibn, or rather, Al-Hazimi al-Nawawi. We discussed his biography. We spoke about his youth and his study. We discussed the various works that he authored, walhamdulillah. We went into his school of jurisprudence and aqidah. We also discussed the era that he lived in. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. We ended off with regards to his death and the legacy that he left behind. Most important matter, that up till today, we remember this man. Up till today, we say, may Allah have mercy upon him. Why? Because he left behind a legacy, subhanallah. What legacy will you, Sumayya Ahmed Ilyas, leave behind? Ponder over that. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. We then moved on to the Muqaddima, the introduction to this book. Who authored the Muqaddima? Who put together the introduction? None other than Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah. He mentioned five narrations with regards to collecting and relating 40 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned that all of them are weak. He also discussed the opinion of the ulama. In fact, he stated consensus that it is allowed to narrate, to mention, to act upon weak ahadith when it comes to matters of virtue and fada'il. We said in reality, there is no consensus with regards to that matter. There's debate amongst the ulama. Some ulama of the opinion that you are completely allowed to use weak ahadith when it comes to the matters of fada'il, but there are certain conditions attached to the matter. We went through the conditions in great detail. We discussed, we also learned that that was the opinion of majority of the ulama. The other opinion, you are allowed to use weak ahadith in fada'il and in ahkam and in jurisprudence, the matters of law, you are allowed to use it left, right and center. They said that it is better than using your own reasoning, rather you use a weak hadith. So this is another end of the spectrum. Another opinion, the third opinion, completely not allowed to use weak ahadith at all. The Sahih Ahadith suffice us. And they gave the example, they said, for example, here's a bridge. Somebody says to you, maybe the bridge can withstand the weight of your car. Maybe it cannot. Would you take a chance? No, you would not. And other opinions we discuss, other proofs, walhamdulillah, the audios have been uploaded to the net. That was a very long discussion pertaining to the usage of weak ahadith. Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah. We moved on to the original name of this book. We said that Imam An-Nawawi called it Al-Arba'in fi Mabani Al-Islam wa Qawa'id Al-Ahkam. We said technically 42 and not 40. The content across the board. Those ahadith that the religion of Al-Islam revolve around. A brother asked, he says, you know what? I have a few revered brothers and sisters. You know, what can you prescribe for them to study? Maybe some audios to listen to. He said, subhanallah. From amongst the most important things they should study are these 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi. Why? Because our deen revolves around these ahadith. Subhanallah, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat enters into plus minus over 70 chapters of fiqh. Who said this? Imam Ash-Shafi'i rahimahullah. These ahadith, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, have been explained by classical scholars, by contemporary scholars, and we listed many of those works, walhamdulillah. We then moved on from there, Ya Abdallah, Ya Amatallah, and we began with the first hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Who narrates it? Who narrates this hadith? Amir al-Mu'mineen, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an, he narrates that he heard the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam some narrations while on the minbar mentioning, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, verily actions are but by the intention, wa innama likulli imri'in ma nawa, and every person shall have what they intended. Then, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَهِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever makes the hijrah for Allah, migrates for the sake of Allah and the Rasul, then he gets Allah and the Rasul. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ لِدُنْيَا يُصِيبُهَا. He migrated for the sake of the dunya, to marry a woman, for business, for study, whatever it might be. أو امرأتي ينكحها, or to get married to a woman. فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه, then his hijrah is for whatever he intended. يا عبد الله, يا أمة الله, hadith reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. We discussed the takhrij of this hadith. We said plus minus 90 books of a hadith mention it. The famous 6 books of a hadith all have it. There was only the issue of the muwatta of Imam Malik, and we said that in the muwatta of Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, this narration is found there. We also went through the discussion pertaining to the sanad, the chain of narration, from Umar, who heard it, Alqama ibn Waqas al-Laythi, from him, Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi, from him, Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, from him, over 200. We discussed very important matters pertaining to the chain of narration. We cannot go back into that discussion right now. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we moved on from there. And we discussed the biography of that giant, of that alim, of that zahid, of that sahabi, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. And an important point we pulled out, that he embraced Islam at the age of 27. Sumayya Ahmed Ilyas Saleh, you are at the age of what? 20? You are at the age of 15? You are at the age of 22? You have a head start over Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. What will you do with your life? He began at 27, subhanAllah. It's as if he was born at 27. That's when he embraced al-Islam. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, he lived up to the age of 63. He was martyred in Medina al-Munawwara. Attacked by who? Attacked by that Persian slave, Abu Lu'lua al-Majusi, alayhi la'natullah. We moved on and we discussed the importance of this hadith. Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi says that whoever authors any book, put this hadith as the first hadith in your book. Why? Why, brothers and sisters? You are out there, you are listening now. Why? Because of the matter of intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the matter of intention that I am learning, I am studying to remove ignorance from myself, to increase myself in knowledge, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طلب العلم فريضة على كل مسلم. It is an obligation upon every Muslim to seek the matter of knowledge. Brothers and sisters, we saw, for example, Imam Ahmed stating that the principles, the fundamentals of Islam go back to 3 ahadith. One of them being the hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. The other hadith, whoever invents in our deen, then his invention, innovation is rejected. Protection of the religion. And the third most important hadith, halal is clear, haram is clear, and the doubtful matters in between. Whoever stays away from the doubtful, then his deen and his honor has been protected. Brothers and sisters, we touched upon the power of intention. The power of intention and it being on a higher level than action and statement. And we mentioned various proofs, walhamdulillah. We said, for example, the disbeliever will be in the hellfire for eternity. One reason for this, some might say, well, this is unfair. The reason for this is that he intended to be in the state of disbelief, to be in the state of the zalim as the oppressor for eternity. Had he lived for 1,000 years, he would have been upon that. Allahu musta'an. The power of intention. And subhanAllah, no doubt, the heart, the mind, super important. The heart, the mind, supersede action and statement. You have many studies which were done that this individual, they gave him the painter's coat. Group of students, they gave them the painter's coat. And they said to them, you know, this is the study, and, you know, go about your daily tasks. These individuals felt that they were painters. They were rather sloppy and, you know, they were not careful with regards to the work that they completed for that day. Another group of individuals, they were told the same white coats. They were told that you are wearing the coats of doctors. You are wearing the doctor's coat. And subhanAllah, they found that these individuals, they were very much more precise than the first group. In whatever they did for the day, very, very precise. Walhamdulillah. SubhanAllah. Why? Because they felt that they were doctors. And that profession comes with a high level of precision. Another group of individuals, they gave them a clipboard. So the test was, they gave these guys, like on the university campus, they gave them clipboards to walk around. And these guys felt, you know, like they were in the position of managers. They felt that they were people who were responsible. Just by holding a clipboard and walking around, these guys felt that, you know what, we're responsible. We're the ones in charge here. SubhanAllah, the power of the mind, the power of intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, our Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that while the companions were out in battle, he said that in Medina, there's a group of people, they get the same reward as you people here. That we don't pass any valley, etc., except that they get the same reward. Why? Because it's only due to their valid reason that they were unable to join us. They wanted to, they had the intention, but unfortunately, maybe there were not enough steeds of war. Maybe they were ill. Whatever it might have been, they had the intention. They get the reward. Walhamdulillah. And niyatul mu'min khair min amalihi. The niyyah of the believer is better than his actions. Reported by Imam al-Bayhaqi, although it has some weakness in it. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We then moved on to the various works of the scholars which began with this hadith. We said that our Rasul Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, some narration. He mentioned this hadith where? Mentioned this hadith on the mimbar, subhanAllah. We discussed individual works of the ulama pertaining to this hadith. We spoke about the reason behind this hadith. Was there this guy, Muhajir Qais, who left Mecca, came to Medina to get married to this woman? 100% that happened. But whether it's related to this hadith, that has not been established. We went through the words of the hadith. We went through the summary of this hadith, which was that this hadith is the yardstick and the litmus test for evaluating action in terms of good, evil, reward, sin, being valid, invalid. What's the litmus test? What's the yardstick? The matter of intention. It dictates, it decides whether the action in reality is really good, it's evil, whether you will be rewarded, whether you get sin, whether it's valid, invalid. Your intention differentiates between acts of worship and acts of a routine daily nature. It is the differentiating factor between doing something for Allah or doing something solely for the dunya. And as some said, the correctness of your action is dependent upon intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. We touched upon the masail pertaining to where's your intention? Is it upon your tongue or is it in your heart? Do I have to say, wallah, I'm making wudu now? Do I have to, for example, say, wallah, I'm making ghusl for your sake? Do I have to say, I'm praying two rakahs of sunnah of Salatul Fajr facing towards the Kaaba? I'm praying two rakahs of Salatul Fajr behind the Imam in the Salah facing towards the Kaaba? We said, subhanAllah. Consensus of the scholars that this is something which is not a requirement. You do not have to say this at all. We said, Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, mentions that somebody just saying that, you know what, oh Allah, I'm fasting for your sake, etc., etc., does not mean that this person has sincerity. What did he say? He said, in reality, you are talking to yourself. We mentioned various narrations. Abdullah ibn Umar, he heard that man saying, oh Allah, I'm making hajj for your sake. Asked him, who are you informing? Are you informing Allah? No, Allah knew. Are you informing yourself? No, I know what I'm doing. So he says, keep quiet. We went through various opinions. We went through the various harms pertaining to this. The brother, he's got wiswas of shaitan, whispers of shaitan. He doubts himself all the time. He comes in to the masjid, Imam's almost about to go into ruku and says, "Inni nawaitu an usalli this Allahu Akbar." And then I forgot to say Kaabati Sharifa. And then he starts again. Imam's in ruku. Imam sami Allahu liman hamida. He says, "No, I mentioned two rakas, but it's rather four rakas. I thought it was asr, but it's dhuhr." Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Brother, what's going on? What's going on? Imam's in second rak'ah, and you are still there. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this invention is now causing problems, and so there's more reason to avoid it and leave it out. And at the end of the day, everyone agrees. Whatever you have in your heart, that supersedes anything you could have mentioned on your tongue. If you knew in your heart you're praying such and such, that suffices. Walhamdulillah. And as one of the ulama, he said, the one who verbalizes intention has a deficiency in his intellect and deficiency in his deen. Deficiency in intellect, why? Because before you pick up your cell phone, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm picking up my cell phone. Before you walk, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm now going to walk. Before, for example, you start your car, you don't say, oh Allah, I'm now going to start my car. Nobody does that. Why suddenly for wudu and ghusl and fasting, you have this urge to inform Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And he says deficiency in your deen, because the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never spoke about this. Sahaba didn't know about this. The Tabi'in didn't discuss this. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah didn't mention anything about this. Rather, this was something which came much later. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we moved on from that discussion and we said that the matter of intention, when the ulama talk about it, they say that you have on one side the matter of ikhlas. This is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the opposite of this would be riya, would be the matter of shirk, would be the matter of associating partners in this action. Who's going to Jahannam first? Do you think it's Fir'aun? Do you think it's Haman? Maybe Hitler? Who do you think is going to Jahannam first? Brothers and sisters, the alim, the scholar, he's going to Jahannam first. Hadith in Sahih Muslim. Allah would ask him, what have you done? Oh Allah, I spread your knowledge. Oh Allah, I taught the people. Oh Allah, I did this and I recite. No, you did all. No, you only did that. So people would say, what a brilliant scholar. What a dynamic scholar. What a beautiful voice that Qari has, mashallah. And they said so in this dunya. And so no share in the hereafter. You did it for the dunya. What share do you want in the hereafter? His intention was corrupt. His intention was not for Allah. Rather, his intention was for the dunya. Subhanallah. And to the hellfire he would be sent. The second, the one who gave millions in charity. So people would say, what a charitable man. To Jahannam you go. The third one who died, fi sabilillah. No, not fi sabilillah. Rather, fi sabili nafsihi, for himself. So people would talk about him after his death. Look at the power of what people would say. That this man gave his life, he's not going to even listen to that praise. It's only going to happen after his death. But rather he wants that. He wants people to speak good about him. He wants people to praise him. Allahu musta'an. To hellfire they go. Why? Because the matter of intention was corrupt. How many a times small tiny action is magnified due to its pure intention. And how many times, like this hadith, massive deeds are made minuscule due to the corrupt intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our actions, our niyyah, and our deeds from us. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The other matter, when the ulama talk about intention, they discuss it from the angle of intention differentiates between acts of worship and the acts of a daily nature. Example, you just want to take a bath because you're feeling hot. Or for example, you're taking a ghusl, which is an act of worship. You are fasting because it's an act of worship. Primarily, that's your intention. Yes, secondary intention, you might want to lose some weight or whatever. That's a secondary intention. Primary, Ramadan, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondary intention, lose weight, khair and barakah. Usually people put on weight in Ramadan. Nonetheless, as opposed to somebody who's fasting because the doctor said to him, you need to fast 5 days because of such and such. That's a separate matter. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. We then moved on to the matter pertaining to riya, and we discussed the various categories. Somebody does an act completely from morning till night, everything he does is just a show. He only does it for show. He's not really doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said that this cannot really happen from a believer. This can only be that this man's a munafiq, like the criminals during the time of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we moved on to the second discussion. We said maybe somebody, you know, he started out an action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then some riya entered into the matter, and we discussed that category. What if this act was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then later on some riya entered into it. That's one category. The other category, from the beginning, the action was for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also discussed the category where maybe some of the action, like maybe it's charity, so I gave 10 rand here, 10 rand there. And the third 10 rand was for show, because somebody was watching me. So the first two tens, that was for the sake of Allah. So we can separate between matters. As opposed to salah, from the beginning till the end, it's one act of worship. You can't really separate matters. Allahu musta'an. What about praise after an action? This bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, you know, is good and khair and barakah for you, inshallah. Except if you were waiting for the praise. I'm going to go and do this here, etc. And I'll do it for Allah, for Allah's sake, 100% ikhlas. But I'm going to wait for that praise that's going to come later on. Then that's wrong. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, finally we touched upon the matter of Tark. Salim did not fall into zina today. Salim did not go to the casino. Salim stayed away from lying, ghiba and namima and backbiting. In fact, Salim didn't kill anybody today. Will he be rewarded for that? No, he will not be rewarded for that. Unless he intended. Unless it was something that tempted him. He was really tempted by zina. He was tempted to, you know, dabble in drugs. But he said, no, this I cannot touch. I cannot do. He really was super angry. Wanted to really, you know, break up a person, subhanAllah. But he stayed away. No, for sake of Allah, let me stay away from this. This is wrong, it's haram, etc. Now here he will be rewarded. That you call in Arabic kaf. He abstained from it. He was tempted, wanted to do it, could have done it, but he abstained and he stayed away from it. He was tempted to steal, but he stayed away. As for matters which never crossed your mind at all, then your avoidance of that will not earn you any reward. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. We take a short ad break, and when we return, we continue. Hayyakum Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Brothers and sisters, we continue insha'Allah. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. Our topic of discussion, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, and more especially hadith number 1, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. Brothers and sisters, we now move on to another discussion. The relationship between intention and action. The relationship between intention and action. Number one, for example, you might have good action and good intention. Nurun ala nur, light upon light, khair and barakah. Somebody is performing salah for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's in his sajda, getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest insan is to Allah when he's in sujood. This individual wants to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His worship, ubudiyah, servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fantastic action. First action to be judged on Yawmul Qiyamah, the matter of salah. And what's his intention? Beautiful, walhamdulillah, worship, ikhlas he has. Brilliant, walhamdulillah. Somebody, for example, shows kindness to an animal. Beautiful, fantastic action. He's provided some water. He has provided some food to this animal. What's his intention? Reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Showing mercy to creation so the Creator will have mercy upon him. Beautiful, walhamdulillah. Somebody shows respect, honor to his father, to his mother, to his kids. He goes out and he works. And he is conscious of that intention that I'm going out to earn a halal living to provide for my family. MashaAllah. Good action, working, walhamdulillah. And beautiful intention. That's what we should all aspire towards. Doing good action with beautiful intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst the mukhlisin. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Even if the act is small, it's tiny. That beautiful, fantastic ikhlas, pure intention magnifies it. And the opposite is also true, as Abdullah ibn Mubarak had said. Number two, where you have evil action and evil intention. Somebody, subhanallah, he wants to get richer. Right, but what's he doing? He wants to steal. And so he steals, falls into oppresses others. He just wants to be up there. He just wants to be the best one. in his eyes. He wants to be the oppressor, and he does actions of oppression. This individual is lying through their teeth, subhanAllah. They know that they're lying, they want to lie, they purposefully do the sin. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ The individual knows that zina is haram. Gambling, alcohol, drugs, all of this haram. Not supposed to be involved in them. Ghiba, backbiting, namima. They know it's wrong and they still fall into it. Evil action and evil intention. No, I want to talk bad about so and so. You know, couple, they broke up or whatever it might be. You know, the more I speak bad about her, etc. You know, the less people would think of her in society. Or run down their family. I want people to think low of them. Allahu musta'an. You do haram and your intention is haram. Darkness upon darkness. That's from amongst the worst of categories. Evil action and evil intention. He wants, for example, doesn't want his father to be around any longer. And so pulls the trigger. Wants to get rid of the wife for whatever reason. Wants to get rid of the husband. Get rid of kids. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahu musta'an. The third category. Good action, but evil intention. Good action, evil intention. May Allah save us. So he's performing salah, subhanAllah. And you look at him, this brother's got ikhlas. This brother's got humility in salah. He's got sincerity. Look at the tranquility in his salah. But all he's doing it for is that because you are watching him. Because he wants to put on a show. Beautiful act, the act of salah. But he's showing off in his salah. His intention is not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jihad fi sabilillah, from amongst the best of actions, the pinnacle of al-Islam. But he's doing it so people will talk about him. He's giving these millions in charity so people can talk about him. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah. She covers her hair, mashallah. And she puts on this beautiful, beautiful scarf, walhamdulillah, and dressing, etc. Why? So that people would praise her. That's the sole intention. That's the primary intention. It's just a show. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, we learnt. First three to go into the hellfire would be the alim, would be the one who gave millions in charity, would be the one who gave his life, but not fi sabilillah, but rather so that people would talk about them. Those who fall into that category. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, like that individual. He's performing salah. Two brothers enter into the masjid. They say, subhanAllah, look at this brother. Look at the ikhlas. Look at the sincerity, tranquility in his salah. You know, I wish I could pray like this. The brother overhears. What does he say? And I'm fasting too. And I'm also fasting, mashallah. It's not only that my salah is so beautiful. You know, you're forgetting, brothers. You guys don't know that I'm also fasting. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And we say that ikhlas definitely went out of the window. So the third category, good action, but evil intention. Fourth category, evil action with good intention. Evil action with good intention. Like, for example, Robin Hood. Jayid. So stealing, but he says, I'm stealing from the rich, giving to the poor. I've got a noble intention. Jayid, does the end justify the means? Absolutely not. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, somebody steals to give in sadaqah. Somebody robs so that, you know, he can build a masjid, walhamdulillah. Somebody falls into zina, he says, no, because I want, mashallah, lots of kids, you know, mujahideen fi sabilillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, somebody goes and gets a fake certificate, fake degree somewhere, so that, he says, so I can get a job and I can earn halal income for my family. No, brother. This in reality is evil action. Evil action. You're stealing, falling into zina, getting fake certificates, doctorates, degrees, whatever it might be. That's all evil action. Although your intention might be beautiful. You want to give sadaqah, build a masjid, provide for your family. No, brother. That's wrong. Evil action, although you might have a good intention, does not turn it into a good act or with a good intention. Allahu musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amatullah, the rule there is that sin remains sin even if one has a noble intention. Sin remains sin even though one has a noble intention. But the level and the gravity of the sin will be lower than the previous category we discussed, where it's evil action and evil intention. I repeat, this brother is doing, you know, an evil act, but he's got a good intention. It's better than somebody who does an evil act with an evil intention. I repeat, somebody doing an evil act with a good intention, it's still haram, it's wrong, but it's less of a problem than doing the evil act with an evil intention. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. Number five, somebody does evil action or good action, but they don't really have any, you know, any intention attached to it. Ghafla, he's not really, you know, conscious of matters. Jayid. We say there's no reward and there's no sin in this matter. Jayid. For example, the kid, by mistake, he dropped something. The kid, you know, by mistake, he dropped a cup. You were carrying something and by mistake, you dropped something. Jayid. There's no reward. There's no sin for this matter. In sleep, you might have sworn at somebody. Jayid. No sin. No reward for this matter. You bought some food. You bought a toy for your kid, right? You just bought it. You know, you didn't really have any intention, you know, any proper intention related to that matter. Then it's just an ordinary act. But if you have the intention, I want to make my kid happy. You know, I want to provide for him. I want to get closer to him by me buying this here. You know, he would probably love me more, etc. You know, we're going to bond together. Then those are good intentions. Alhamdulillah. Sixth category, permissible action with good intention. Permissible act, eating, drinking water, walking, sitting, sleeping, all these type of ordinary acts, but you do it with good intention, then they earn you rewards, alhamdulillah. Somebody eats with the intention, I need to go to work, I need to provide for my family, I need to get some strength, I need to perform salah, I need to go and fight jihad fi sabilillah. You'll be rewarded. And as has been said, this is the business of the pious. They might not be doing so much more action than you. They're doing the same level. But they are conscious of the multiple intentions. Brother, just sitting in the masjid. I'm sitting in the masjid because I want to get closer to Allah. This is my like i'tikaf. I'm also, if somebody is going to mention anything in the masjid, I'm going to increase my knowledge. I'm waiting for the fard salah. I want to be early in the masjid because I want to stay away from sin. Subhanallah, he's conscious of all of that. And so he has multiple intentions, earns him multiple rewards, mashallah. Somebody sleeps with the intention of tahajjud, they will be rewarded for the sleep. And you know what? Even if they did not wake up for tahajjud, they overslept, they'll still get the reward of the tahajjud. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. And in the intercourse, the relationship between yourself and the wife, you know, there's sadaqah, there's reward. There's reward for you, subhanallah. Staying away from the haram, your intention is correct, you earn reward. Although it's a permissible dunya matter, you'll be rewarded. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. What about a permissible action with evil intention? Subhanallah. This is where, you know, things really get shaky. Permissible act. Guys with his wife, mashallah. Intimacy. That's a permissible act. Jayid. Matter of the dunya. But he's thinking of somebody else. He's doing a permissible act with the evil intention. Picturing somebody else, has somebody else in his mind. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Somebody, for example, puts on perfume, mashallah. But what's the intention? You know, to attract the non-mahrams around. Inna ma li kulli imri'in ma nawa. You get whatever you intended. Intention is most important. You get whatever you intended. Somebody drinks water and they drink it in the style, in the fashion, cheers. They're drinking it in the manner that it is alcohol. You know? Drinking apple tizer, alhamdulillah, but as if it is wine. Doing something permissible with a haram intention, with an evil intention. Here you will be earning sin for that evil intention. Yes, this individual, you know, he's picturing somebody else while sleeping with his permissible wife, halal wife. He gets this intention that he had. This earns him sin. He gets the sin of that haram intention. Does it mean now that we take him out in public and have him stoned, etc., etc.? All the rules which apply to the proper zina, do they apply to this? No, they don't apply. This individual earns the sin in terms of the intention of that sin. Number eight, permissible actions without proper intention. We touched upon this matter. Number nine, good intention without action. And this proves to us the power of intention, subhanAllah. You had a good intention, no action. I really wanted to become Hafiz al-Quran. Never happened. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, you will be rewarded. You really had that intention. You tried, but it never worked out. You will be rewarded, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. For example, The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned somebody who goes to sleep with the intention to make qiyamul layl, and he oversleeps, he'll be get the reward for that beautiful intention. Hadith reported by Imam An-Nasa'i. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also said, man hamma bi hasana, whoever has the intention to do a good deed, falam ya'malha, he does not do the good deed, katabaha Allah lahu indahu hasanatan kamila, Allah will write down a full good deed for him. He had the intention to do good, he didn't do it, he will be rewarded for that good intention. Walhamdulillah. Hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. That was up to category number 9. Number 10, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, the last one in this section. Evil intention without action. This is a loss. This is a loss. Subhanallah. This is like this individual. He looks at this rich guy gambling left, right and center. This rich guy in Hollywood, Bollywood, wherever it might be, doing haram morning, day, evening, all the time. He says, if only I was like that. If only I was in that position. If only I had that money. If only I was that type of actor or whatever, I'd do the same. In fact, I'd do more. Subhanallah. Here, you didn't do any action. You're sitting in your house. You're dreaming, mashallah. You went across the globe in your dreams, in your intention. You have this evil intention. Although you did not do anything, although there was no action, you earned sin. You're earning sin for nothing, brother, subhanAllah. Why? You could earn rewards without doing action, but you are earning sin without any action. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions, man hamma bi sayyi'a, whoever intends evil, falam ya'malha, doesn't do it, katabaha Allahu lahu indahu jayid. The one who doesn't do it, if he doesn't do it, he leaves it out, for the sake, he says, no, you know, look at this guy, Bollywood, wherever. If only I was like him, I would do the same. Then one day he's got the opportunity. He says, no, I can't do this. This is haram. This is not permissible. For the sake of Allah, I leave it. Then this guy, obviously, he will earn a reward. He didn't do it for the sake of Allah. We touched upon this, the way he abstained. He willfully abstained from something he might have intended previously. The opportunity came up, but he stayed away from it. He will be rewarded. But as for the one who has an evil intention, although he never did, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions two individuals. One of them spends fi sabilillah. Somebody says, if only I had that money, I'll do the same. The second guy gets reward, although he's just sitting. And another individual, he thinks to himself, if only I had money, I'd spend it in haram, left, right and center, more than this other guy here. This individual, he earns the sin similar to the first individual, and he never moved from his place based upon his intention. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. We find, for example, with regards to evil intention, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that two Muslims fight one another, both of them are in hell. Sahaba said, ya Rasulullah, we can understand the killer, but what about the one who was killed? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, innahu kana harisan ala qatli sahibi, rawahu al-Bukhari. He had the clear intent with regards to killing his brother. It was just that, you know, the other guy killed him first. Both of them fighting, both of them wanted to kill another, both of them were fighting unjustly. One killed the other because he was a bit more skilled. Even the killed will go to Jahannam. Why? Because he wanted to kill his brother. The matter of intention, you will be held accountable with regards to that, with regards to that intention. Allah musta'an. Ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. The last matter with regards to the relationship between intention, action, is the issue of multiple intentions. We touched upon it. The more intentions you have, the more beautiful they are, the stronger they are, the greater your reward. Bi-iznillahi ta'ala. Some fawaid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And every person will get whatever they intended. There's no hereafter accountability for the one who forgot or erred. There's accountability in this dunya. You walked into a shop and you picked up a vase or something like this, and by mistake you dropped it down. The shopkeeper wants compensation. You say to him, brother, I didn't really intend. I just touched it by mistake and it fell. Irrelevant, brother. Irrelevant. For the dunya, you need to sort out the compensation. As for the hereafter, will you have to answer in the hereafter? No. Dunya, you must compensate. In the hereafter, no compensation. Why? Because you had forgotten or you erred. It was a mistake. And so there's no hereafter accountability because you never really had the intent to break the item. Excellent. Similarly, the one who's insane, the kid, they are not from the people of intention. The kid. That's why in many acts of worship, etc., not an obligation upon the kids. Why? Because they don't really have that intent. They don't really know what his intention, etc. They don't have that mental capacity. Jayid. And so, for example, the Hanafi scholars, this is one of their proofs that zakah is not an obligation upon the wealth of the kid, and zakah is not an obligation upon the wealth of the insane. This is the opinion of the Hanafi scholars. Whereas majority of the ulama said, no, zakah is an obligation upon the wealth of the kid and an obligation upon the wealth of the insane. Who must pay it? The guardian who is looking after them should sort it out. This majority of the scholars looked at this matter. They agreed that, you know, the kid got no intention. They agree on that. They agreed that the insane has no intention. But they differed on one important point. And they said that zakah is not an obligation upon the kid, nor is it an obligation upon the insane. Rather, zakah is an obligation upon the wealth of the child and the wealth of the insane. The poor has a haq on your wealth. He's not worried whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're handsome, beautiful, whether you're tall or whether you're short. Irrelevant to the poor guy. He's worried about his 2.5% that he needs. And so, majority of the ulama didn't look at it from the angle that the Hanafis looked at it. Rather, they said, zakah is an obligation upon the wealth. Jayid. Then the matter of hijrah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you hear his name, brothers and sisters, the minimum, if you're sitting in a majlis and the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's say, is mentioned 15 times, 20 times, the minimum you need to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once. The more you say it, the merrier, no doubt about that. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who does not say salawat upon him when his name is mentioned, then in reality that's from amongst the worst of misers. Hijrah. What is hijrah? Hijrah is to migrate from Darul Kufr, the lands of Kufr, to the lands of Al-Islam. In the early days of Islam, this was wajib, it was fard, it was an obligation. You needed to leave Makkah and you had to come to Medina Al-Munawwara. Unless you absolutely did not have the means, did not have the ability. If you had the ability, it was a sign of your iman, it was a sign of your Islam that you migrated. You had to, it was an obligation. Fast forward, the year 8 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conquest of Mecca, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, now that hijrah is no longer an obligation. Muslims, wherever they are in the globe, even if you are living in a non-Muslim country, if you are allowed to practice your religion freely, then hijrah is not an obligation upon you. But if you're in an area where you're unable to practice Islam, masajid are locked, you cannot really practice your Islam, the female cannot dress as a Muslim female should, if there's restrictions on all matters, then subhanallah, once the major matters of Islam become restricted upon you, then you need to migrate and you need to go to a land where you are able to practice Islam, as mentioned in the noble Quran, that was the earth of Allah not wide enough for you. Could you not go somewhere else? Could you not go somewhere else? There's also the hijrah from sin to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we said, what's the ruling with regards to this hijrah? It's based upon ability to practice Islam. If you have the ability to practice Islam, then it's mustahab, it's recommended, but it's not an obligation. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, whoever makes hijrah for Allah or his Rasul, then he gets Allah and the Rasul. Look at that repetition, because these are important matters, because these are highly regarded matters. Whoever migrates for Allah gets Allah. Whoever migrates for the Rasul gets the Rasul. But when it came to the second category, whoever migrates for the dunya or migrates to get married to a woman, the Prophet ﷺ did not repeat, then he gets the dunya and he gets the woman. He never said that. Rather, he said he gets whatever he intended. You know, there's like, tahqir. It's like looking down upon those matters. Although migrating from the east to the west to get married to a pious, righteous woman is fantastic, brilliant. Migrating across the globe for the dunya because you need to earn a living is fantastic, no issue. So why tahqir? Why looking down upon it, Ya Rasulullah? Because in comparison to somebody migrating for the sake of Allah and migrating for the Rasul, your migration for dunya or a woman is definitely on a lower level. Not that it's wrong or haram or anything of the sort, no. But in comparison to the one who migrates for Allah and the Rasul, that's on a super high level and yours much lower. That's the tahqir and that's the contrast between both of them. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, dunya. What does dunya mean? Dunya means something close to something else. Dunya is called dunya. Why? Because it's very close to something eternal, which is the akhirah, which is the hereafter. Brothers and sisters, our Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, whoever migrates for the dunya or to get married to a woman, then he gets whatever he intended. Question. Marrying a woman, is it not part of the dunya? Yes, it is. So why did the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention that? He could have sufficed by saying, whoever migrates for the dunya gets whatever he intended, as opposed to saying, whoever migrates for the dunya, and then maybe listing examples for the woman, for a car, for business, this, that, etc. You know, the dunya already encompassed the meaning with regards to that woman. This is what you call mentioning the general and the specific after. You mention the general, the dunya, and then why specify this matter of woman, subhanAllah? The ulama state that dhikrul khas ba'd al-am yufid al-ikhtisas. Mentioning something specific after the general shows the importance of the specific. If I said, all the students in this class are very, very intelligent, and Sulaiman, definitely. So subhanAllah, I singled out Sulaiman. Means Sulaiman is on a higher level. Sulaiman is super important. Sulaiman sticks out from the crowd. Jaid is highly important. Excellent. It's the same here. We find, so the matter of, getting married to this woman, etc. Super, super important. We find, Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, our Rasul, Habib Muhammad ibn Abdullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi said, Ma taraktu ba'di fitna adarra ala al-rijal minan nisa, hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. I've not left behind after me a fitna which is heavier upon men like the fitna of women. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. The other ahadith mention that you can find the individual who's righteous, upright, you know, he's mustaqim and he's a practicing Muslim, but lack of better words, you know, she's got that power that she can even make him spin. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. This hadith here reported by Imam Al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim. This hadith is also the basis of certain qawa'id, certain principles of the sharia. You find qawa'id fiqhiyya. They are called legal maxims. So for example, a student of law, etc., you come across these legal maxims. And bi'iznillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis, we will touch upon these various legal maxims pertaining to this hadith. For example, the legal maxim which states, all affairs are by intention. Al-umur bimaqasidiha. That's a universal law. This is a universal maxim. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah. Under this universal maxim rule, you also find subordinate maxims. Like for example, Al-ibra fil uqud lil maqasid wal ma'ani la alfaz wal mabani. The consideration in contracts is for the real intention and meaning and not for the wording or sentence construction. Example. Guy wants to get married. The father-in-law, future father-in-law, says to him, I sell my daughter to you for 10,000 rands. He says, I accept. Two witnesses were there. Question. Did a sale just take place or did a nikah take place? What's the qa'ida? What's the principle? The principle is, the maxim is, that consideration in contracts, this is a nikah contract, consideration in contracts is for the real intention. What's the real intention? Real intention is marriage. Real intention is nikah. Consideration in contracts is for the real intention and meaning. And not for whatever came out from the lips. Not for the wording or the sentence construction. So not for whatever they mentioned. But rather we ask them, what was the meaning behind what you people were doing? What's the meaning? This was a nikah? Excellent. So then technically it would be a nikah. Somebody says to another, I gift you my car for $10,000. He says, I accept, and he gave him $10,000. Was this a gift or was this a sale? In reality, important word. The reality is that this was a sale. This was a sale. Although I use the word gift, subhanAllah. We don't look at the surface level, what was mentioned upon the tongue, what's written there, but rather we look at the meaning behind the matter. Somebody says, I will lend you 100 rands, and you give me back the 100 rands in a month with a 10 rand gift. MashaAllah, called it a 10 rand gift. You can call it a 10 rand gift, but the reality behind it is that that's riba. Excellent. I'm lending you 100 rands. You must pay me back 100 rands with the 10 rand gift. The 10 rand gift is what we call riba. It is haram. We don't look at, but it's called a gift, brother. We're calling it a gift. Look, it's written in this receipt. It's a gift. No, brother. The reality is, you people intended this extra. And the reality is, call it whatever you want. It will be riba. So this hadith is the foundation and basis for the universal maxim, which states, affairs are by intention. Under that maxim, you have subordinate maxims. Example, there is no reward except by intention. Consideration in contracts is for the real intention and meaning and not for wording or sentence construction. The third subordinate maxim, which states, intention in oaths specifies the general and generalizes the specific. Shahid, for example, somebody says he's had an issue with his father-in-law, for example. He says, Wallahi, from today, I will never accept a cent from you, O my father-in-law. Wallahi, from today, I will never accept a cent from you. 3 days later, it's Eid, mashallah. Father-in-law buys him a new Mercedes-Benz. Can he take it? Yes or no? He said, I will never accept a cent from you. Technically, this is a Mercedes-Benz. This is not a cent. It's many more cents. Walhamdulillah. So what in reality makes sense in this matter? Take it or not to take it? We say, brother, we don't look at the sentence construction in your oath. You might have said, I will not accept a cent from you. But your intention behind it was, you had an issue with father-in-law. You do not want any help from him. You will not accept any assistance from him. You do not want any of that from him. So if we are going on the basis of that, then technically for as long as this oath stands, you cannot accept that Mercedes-Benz. Side note, we'll say to the brother, you know what, as the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, if you've made an oath and you find something better, break the oath and go towards what's better. And here it might be better for you to break your oath, sort out the kafara, and then take the Mercedes-Benz. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. The other subordinate maxim that maqasid al-lafz ala niyyat al-lafiz la illa fil yamin inda al-qadi, the intent behind speech is upon the intention of the speaker except under oath in front of the judge. You had, for example, this individual, there's a court proceedings happening, two individuals. This guy comes to that land, he claims that this is his land. It's in court now for months on end. He stands in front of the qadi, he says, qadi, they're at that land, in front of the land, the case is there. He says, Qadi, wallahi, what I'm standing on belongs to me. And he intends his shoes. Everybody thinks he's talking about the land, this 5 kilometer land, that's what's in dispute here. But his intention is, no, I'm standing on my shoes. And my shoes, oh Qadi, wallahi, this belongs to me. Qadi thinks, you know, he's talking about the land. Subhanallah. So here, do we go with intention? If we go with intention here, then we're going to have, court cases left, right and center all collapsing. The principle is, intent behind speech is based upon the intention of the speaker, except if you take an oath in front of the Qadi. You cannot say, you know what, I tricked the Qadi, I intended something else. They asked you, did you see so-and-so, do such and such? Then you intend in your heart, I did not see him wearing a red hat doing such and such action. And so you take an oath, I never saw him. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma musta'an. Another subordinate maxim, al-ayman mabniyatun ala al-aghrad la ala al-alfaz, that oaths are based upon intention and not necessarily upon the statement. The other one, the oath is upon the intent of the speaker, if oppressed, and upon the intent of the mustahlif if the speaker is the oppressor. And there are certain exceptions to the rule, innama al-a'malu bin-niyat. Exceptions, yes. Here's a brother. And mashallah, may Allah save us. He says, mashallah, my father is now 87 and he owns this empire and he does not want to retire. So I want my share. I want my inheritance. I want to take over the business. So he says, let me hasten my father's meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he eventually kills his father, takes the life of his father. What's his intention? His intention is to get inheritance. His intention is to get that inheritance. If we work with the principle, you get what you intend, then we should say to the brother, you know, you killed your father, that was bad. But anyway, here's the inheritance, here's the empire, it belongs to you. If we go with the rule, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ, that's what we should do. We would have to give him the empire. But we go on the opposite here. This is the exception to the rule, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّةِ. Based upon the principle, مَنْ اسْتَعْجَلَ شَيْءٍ قَبْلَ أَوَانِهِ عُوقِبَ بِحِرْمَانِهِ. Whoever brings forward something before its appointed time, then he will be prevented from making use of it. You kill your father because you wanted inheritance, we will punish you and you will not get that inheritance. Although the principle is innamal a'malu bin niyat. Well, we say, brother, take your innamal a'malu bin niyat to your jail cell or whatever. You would be obviously Islamic society or whatever, Muslim country, you know, death sentence for you. He said, but innamal a'malu bin niyat. We say, brother, not always. Not always. For example, you have the other matter, the matter of divorce, subhanAllah. Somebody says, no, I was just joking. I was just joking. I said to her, you know, you divorced, etc. We were joking, cracking jokes. We say, brother, this is an exception to the rule. Divorce, exception to the rule. No joking and messing around with regards to the matter of divorce. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we'll touch upon this universal maxim, the subordinate maxims under them, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in our knowledge. La yustata'u al-ilm bi-rahati al-jism. Knowledge cannot be sought with a body which is nice and super relaxed. Rather, effort is required. Effort is required, ya Abdullah, ya Amat Allah. And as the Rasul Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever seeks a path of knowledge, just for being on the path of knowledge, Allah makes your path to paradise easy, bi-iznillahi ta'ala. May Allah grant us ikhlas. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala purify our intention. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the maqbooleen, those who are accepted. Hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.